you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And if you would pray to the Lord right now, say, Lord, would you speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Something to that effect. Lord, speak to my heart. Draw me closer through the message tonight. Secondly, we say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled or completely controlled with your Spirit. And lastly, would you pray to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise, honor, and glory to you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Can someone, you can share out loud if you like, what are some ways that we send and receive messages today? What are some ways that we send and receive messages? Snail mail, text, I heard Gwen say. Who? What else? What are some other ways we communicate? Does anyone ever use this anywhere? Okay. Send a message. You can leave a message if they're not there in person. What else? What was it? Face to face? Email? Facebook? Instagram? Messenger? Right? So we can. Larry's back here. Nope, 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 nope. Larry, you do know what snail mail is still, right? That's just putting a mail stamp and put it in the mail. You don't do that? Work on him a little bit, Connie, would you? Just a little bit. I don't blame you, Larry. I really don't. I really don't blame you. I'm not on most of those things myself, or a lot of them. But let me ask you the question. We send and receive a lot of messages, but what really is the greatest message that we have? The greatest message that we can send is the message of Jesus Christ, right? The message of salvation. The good news message that is about Jesus. Tonight we're going to look just the message, a simple reminder message, if you will, out of John chapter 4. You will need your Bibles tonight. Title of the message is Leaving Your Water Pot. Leaving Your Water Pot. In John chapter 4. You'll understand what that means here in a little bit, okay? John chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 25 to 30 and 39 to 42. Leaving your water pot. If you have your Bibles, follow along. John 4, 25. Now, the context here is the Lord is passing through Samaria, okay? And it says in verse 4 of chapter 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. So Jesus felt the need in his ministry to go through Samaria. Now, a lot of Jews, from what I understand, would do all they could to avoid Samaria, because Samaria was full of half-breeds, half-Jews and half-something else. So from what I understand, a lot of people would avoid it, but Jesus did not choose to avoid Samaria, because I think he knew that there was a mission that he had to take care of. And it says in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria. And anyway, he gets to talk to this woman who has come to draw water from the well. Remember that? The woman at the Samaritan well. Remember her? Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but they get into a big discussion about thirst, having a thirst, and Jesus talks about living water, and they start talking about worship. It says, you Jews worship one place and one way, and we worship another place, or worship in a different way. Which one's right? And they kind of back and forth and all that. And in verse 25, it's kind of almost the conclusion of this discussion between woman at the well and Jesus. But it says in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So that's good, right? She says, I know that he's coming. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What is he saying? I am the Messiah. Okay. Says in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Now, there's two reasons why they were shocked that he talked with the woman. Number one was she was a woman. Jesus elevated the role of women in society. In a sense, he took the time to talk to her. And let me tell you, men, we are not better than women, okay? And women, you are not better than men, okay? We are equal in God's eyes, but we have specific roles to play. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the roles that we have as men and women in society, in the church, and in our families, according to God's word. Everybody good with that? Say amen. All right. But number one, she's a woman. Number two, she's a Samaritan, a half-breed. So the disciples are like, whoa. They probably wouldn't say a whole lot, but you know, it's like, oh, this is kind of funny. This is bad. Jesus, doesn't he know what he's doing? He did, by the way. It says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So they didn't have the boldness. If anybody was going to speak up there, it would have been, which disciple? Which apostle? Peter. Peter would have been the one. I mean, he's the one that's always got an answer, right? So if anybody was going to speak up at this point, it was going to be him, but he didn't. All right, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. She left her water pot. Why had she come to the well? To get water. She instead found the living water, left her water pot, and it says in that verse, and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Or in other words, the Messiah, the anointed one. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So these men that she went to and told them that, hey, isn't this the Christ? They came to see Jesus. And then drop down to verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, that's believed on Jesus, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Title of the message tonight, Leaving Your Water Pot. Leaving Your Water Pot. Point number one, receiving the message. Receiving the message. Would you agree that this Samaritan woman received the message of Christ? She did. Now, it doesn't come right out and says right here in this verse, well, she believed and she did. But she did. I remember there was a big debate going on kind of like about worship and about water. And she said, well, if you got living water, give me water and I won't have to come back here anymore. And, you know, all a discussion like that. But she come to the conclusion that this was the Messiah. This was the Savior. This was the Christ or the Anointed One. You know, if you back up in your Bible to verse 17, it says, verse 16, first of all, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had how many husbands? Five husbands. Almost like Elizabeth Taylor, right? Five husbands. I don't know how many she ended up with, but seven. But it says, thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband. in that sayest thou truly. And then she goes on and says, well, you're a prophet. But she keeps learning more and more. And eventually, he freely admits, as we read, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And then when she goes and tells people what she saw, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? So she received the message. Would you agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Apparently she received the message and said, this is indeed the Christ. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, what? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This woman believed. She received the message that this is the Messiah. In modern terminology, not technology, but terminology today, we'd say that she got saved, okay? She got saved. You know, I would not... she got saved. I would not, I have nothing more highly to recommend to everyone than that they get saved. I mean, really, in our mind as Christians, as people that are committed out on a Wednesday night tonight, we ought to say, you know what? I'm glad I did what I did. I'm glad that I know 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 that I know. You can throw a few more no's in there. I'm glad I know that I know Jesus. I'm glad that I trusted him. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm born again. Different ways in a little bit to say the same thing. I'm glad that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. You know, this old world's pretty crazy. Right, Linda? I could tell from your testimony. You've heard some crazy stuff about this world and in this world. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But I'm glad that regardless of how crazy the world gets, I know where I'm going. And if my life ends in the next 5 minutes, don't worry about me. Remember, I've told you many times, if you come to my service, my funeral, or my visitation, now you need to cry and moan and groan and tell how much you're going to miss me. Absolutely. I'm joking. But don't, as the old preacher back home said, he said, don't you look in there and say, there's that preacher. Don't look in there and say, there's that preacher. I'm not going to be in that box. I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. You see, this woman received the message. I have received this message. I hope that you've received this message. You don't get it by coming to church. Now, that's a good thing to do, and you can hear the message by coming to church, but you don't automatically get it just by coming to church. You got to make that decision to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You got to realize you need a Savior. I've heard it said many times, you can't get someone saved until they realize that they're lost. And you need to realize that you're a sinner and you can't go to heaven in this current condition, so I need to call out to God and ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And I need to call out to God in prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross. You got to believe that Jesus was the Son of God in order to be saved. And you got to believe that He died upon the cross to pay for your sins in order to be saved. And you got to believe that He resurrected back to life and conquered death in order to be saved. And the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, right? So we need to confess Jesus as our Savior. And you can do that if you mean that from your heart. You know, some people get so messed up about this because it's so simple. Oh, it's so simple. Amen to that. If it wasn't simple, a lot of us simpletons wouldn't be saved. I'm glad that it's simple. That's what you got to do, but you got to mean it. You got to mean it. It's a commitment to the Lord. First of all, receiving the message. Now, I kind of want to spend just a little bit of time talking about the messenger. The messenger. You know, the one who received the message becomes the messenger here. And this woman, she was saved, I believe. But she was a sinner. She was in an immoral relationship at the time. But I guarantee you that if it was real, and it truly was salvation, which I find in this story, she changed that. She got out of that immoral. You see, when you trust Jesus, things change. And if they don't change, you probably didn't trust Jesus because your priorities become totally different. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that good? But you know, I still see, even though this woman had just received the message and just got saved, if you will, she didn't let her past keep her from going out and telling people. You know what I mean? I mean, we could make excuses. Well, I'm not much, and I'm not. Yeah, you're right. We're not a whole lot compared to God, but He still can use us. All we need to do is follow Him from that point on, right? Number one, receiving the message. Title of the message, Leaving Your Water Pot. Number two, the urgency of the message. The urgency of the message. You know, she's in the middle of talking with Jesus. Wouldn't you like to talk with Jesus? My goodness. Someday we will, but wouldn't you like when during His earthly ministry? She's in the middle of, and boy, He's saying all kind of stuff. I mean, you could preach this passage, John chapter 4. You could spend a month of straight 30 days of preaching on this. You know what I mean? I mean, a month of Sunday. You could just keep preaching and preaching because there's so much in it. But she interrupts that. You know, she just takes off. Why? Because the message that she heard and that she received was an urgent message. In the middle of talking with Jesus, it says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. Automatically, she went out and started telling people in the city, guess what? Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Wow. You talk about an immediate urgency. I don't know, when you were saved, did you feel a big urge to tell people what you had done and how they could be saved too? What happened to that? What happened to that in our lives? Why aren't we that excited as we were then? This woman, I believe, was excited and she saw the urgency of the message. Leaving your water pot. Number one, receiving the message. Number two, the urgency of the message. Number three, the priority of the message. The priority of the message. Number three, I like that. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. Why had she come to the well? To get water. But all of a sudden, the urgency that she felt to get water was not high on the priority list. It says, the woman left her water pot. What's more valuable than the salvation of a soul? What's more? Oh, come on. Surely in this world, there's something more valuable than a soul. Isn't having the biggest house around, isn't it having the biggest bank account, having the biggest retirement? There's nothing wrong with those things in the right priority, but isn't that what's most important? Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most valuable thing to God is the soul of an individual. That ought to be the most important thing to us too, right? She left her water pot. We need to have some Christians that leave some stuff alone, leave it behind, quit worrying about all the things of the world and say, I want to tell people about Jesus. Do you sense the urgency? If y'all sense the urgency, just give me a little nod. She left her water pot. You know, I doubt if this was a fluent society. You know, there was probably value in that water pot, right? She wasn't worried about that so much anymore. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Wow. I'm afraid we make so many excuses today about why we don't have time. Well, if we don't have time, we don't have a right priority. And I'm not just saying you. I'm saying me. If I'm too busy sometimes to share the gospel, I'm too busy in life. She left her water pot. She left the mission that she was on when she met Jesus and said, you know what? I'm thankful a lot of people leave that mission in life to be missionaries and to be preachers and to be Christian school teachers and things like that are in the world. They're like, I'm going this direction, but praise the Lord, I got saved. I'm going to go His direction now. They leave their water pot. They leave their goals. They leave what they thought they were going to accomplish in life and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Every one of us need to come to that conclusion. He may not call us to do those certain things, but once we get saved, we're going one direction. That's really what repentance is. We're going one direction, right? And we repent and we turn around and go this direction. We understand that we need to be serving God. We need to make Him a priority in life. But she left her water pot. volumes could be preached on that one, I believe. Title of the message, Leaving Your Water Pot. Number one, receiving the message. This Samaritan woman received the message of Christ, that he was the Messiah. Second, the urgency of the message. In the middle of talking with Jesus, she goes and tells people about Jesus. Thirdly, the priority of the message. She recognized this is important. She left her water pot. I don't know, do you leave stuff around anymore and you don't know where you left it? I just wonder how long it took this woman to figure out, I left my water pot back here at that there well. Maybe sometime at night she said, I'm thirsty, I need it. Oh, wait a second. But she was doing a whole lot higher business than carrying water back to the house. Number four, the content of the message. The content of the message. Receiving the message, the urgency of the message, the priority of the message, the content of the message. What's the content of the message? Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Remember when Jesus said, you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband? That would be her testimony. You know, this is what God did for me. This is what Jesus told me. You know, similarly today, we have a testimony about how we were saved, right? I was saved Sunday morning. Remember I told you the week before, I was really under conviction, and the preacher there at Hopewell Baptist Church, Bruce Cooper, he preached a message, and a friend of mine got saved, but I didn't quite have the boldness to step out. I thought you had to come forward to get saved. You really don't have to. It's a good thing to do. You need to make it public, absolutely, but you don't have to step out, come to the altar to be saved. You can be saved at your house. I didn't know that. That's a little bit tense for an 11-year-old. I was kind of like, oh, man, I hope I don't die between now and church time. And I didn't. I didn't die, that is. And the next Sunday, I came forward and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You know, that's my salvation testimony. I was brought up, my mom was saved. My dad, by his own admission later, was not saved until later in life. I wasn't sure. He did not go to church. But that's my testimony of how I come to know Jesus as Savior. You have a testimony, don't you? Some of you went into the world and did a lot of wicked things, right? But you got saved, and that's your testimony for the Lord. That's how you come to Jesus. It's all by faith and trust in what Jesus did for us. That's the only way to be saved, but the way we got there sometimes is a little bit different. It's called our testimony, right? And this woman said, hey, this man told me all things that ever I did. And I think the light bulb went on. It's like, boom, this guy's something special. And then when he says, I'm the Messiah, okay, you are. I'm going to tell other people about it. So the content of the message. And I think if we go about telling people about Jesus, one of the most powerful, not as powerful as what we're going to talk about next, but one of the most powerful things we can tell them is how we got saved. And what God has done for us, and what He has kept us from, or what He saved us from, and how He's an ever-present friend that's always with me. You know, how are they going to say, well, I think you're lying? No, they're going to say, oh, God, this person really believes that. Right? Do you think it's important? I know when we went through that soul-winning thing. I don't know how long ago that been now. A couple years ago, maybe 2.5-3 years ago, we talked about how to lead someone to Jesus. I don't remember. I lose track of time. Normally what I do now, I think in my brain how long ago I thought it really was, and then I double it, and that's about right. But one of the important things to share with people is your testimony, how you come to know Jesus, how He worked on your heart, how maybe the Holy Spirit convicted your heart like He did mine, and like, I need to be saved. How many of you were saved in church? I mean, in a church building. How many of you were saved at home? Okay. A couple, two or three saved at home. Most saved at church. You can be saved wherever you are. But part of the content of the message is our testimony. You know, they say the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. You know, in the secular way of putting things. But if you're satisfied with Jesus and you know how you come to know Him and how God worked in your heart and life to bring you to salvation, that's a wonderful thing to share with people. But the second part is Jesus is the Christ. If you look at verse 42, listen, it says, when these people came and more believed and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. By implication, this woman had been telling them, the woman at the well had already been saying, hey, this man knows everything, testimony, and he's Christ. Isn't that what she said? Is not this the Christ? And they say, yeah, that we figured out this is indeed the Christ, but by implication, she'd already told them that. You see, the content of the message, our testimony, and that the second part of the content of the message is that Jesus is the Christ. And I like the way they put it, the Savior of the world. Not just the Savior of a few, but he came to save the world. It's up to us to make that decision, though, right? Excuse me. Leaving your water pot. Number one, receiving the message. This woman received the message. Number two, the urgency of the message. In the middle of talking to Jesus, she goes and tells people about Jesus. Third, the priority of the message. She left her water pot. What's the value of a soul? Number four, the content of the message, her testimony, and that Jesus is the Christ. And number five, the power of the message. The power of the message. In verse 39, you know, she went out and told, it says the men specifically of the city. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city, what? Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Wow. Do you see the power of the message? A number of people got saved just by her going out. Can that happen to us? You mean we can go out and give our testimony and tell people how to be saved according to the Bible, share with them Scripture, and they can change your eternal destiny? Absolutely. You mean there's power in the message that we have to give to the world? Absolutely. But you know what? There was even further power. As these people came around, some of it says, and many more believed, verse 41, because of his own word. So some of them believed immediately, I believe, and then some of them said, I want to hear for myself, and they come. And sometimes our role is simply to get them under the word. Now that can be a cop-out. You know, well, I invited them to church, they didn't come. I invited them to church, all right, no, they didn't come. Sometimes after a while, if they say, I'm not coming to church, maybe you need to take the gospel to them. You know what I mean? And you share the gospel with them because they may not come through the back doors back there or the front doors to come to church. But a lot of them came and said, well, I'm going to hear for myself. And they heard what Jesus was teaching and preaching. And it says, now we believe, not because of thy saying of the woman, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, there's power in the gospel. There's power in your testimony, but most importantly, there's power in the Word of God. I heard a preacher, Lehman Strauss was his name, heard this message. He talked about, it was down when I was in seminary. That's one great advantage of seminary. I heard some really, really good preachers. I mean, at that point, you know, a lot of the biggest speakers and the ones who had the biggest audience, that they'd show up at Tennessee Temple or Temple Baptist Seminary and preach. And he preached this message on the power of the Word and how this one verse in Romans, I'm not exactly sure, I think it was part of the Romans road, but this one verse in Romans, just he couldn't get away from it. He just could not get away from it. Someone had shared it with him, and that just kept gnawing on him and gnawing on him, because there's power in the Word of God. And he eventually got saved, and he was a great preacher. Wow. You see, there's power in the message that we have to share, our testimony, and even most importantly, the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. This Word is powerful. Leaving your water pot. Number one was receiving the message. The woman received the message. I guess my question for you, have you received that message? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? You know, I think it's going to be a shame a lot of people who were too embarrassed to ever admit that they didn't mean it the first time and never did it again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I believe a lot of churches are going to keep on going after the rapture. Really? Billy Graham, when asked this question, He said that he thought about 10% of people that go to church are actually saved. Now, I'm sure that sphere was very broad, not Bible preaching churches like ours many times, but I still think there's a lot of people in our churches who have never been born again. Receiving the message, this woman recognized this was the Messiah, the Savior. Have you received the message of salvation? If not, you better do it. You better do it. There's no time like the present. You have no promise of the next minute. Secondly, the urgency of the message and the priority of the message kind of go together there a bit. But what are you letting, what are you letting in life keep you from sharing this message of Jesus? You know, that woman could have said, oh, I got to go fill this water pot and get back to what I come to. She was like, no, I'm going to. But what are you letting him hinder or hamper you from sharing the message of Christ? I mean, we can have 15,000 excuses. Really, we can. I don't know enough. I'm too busy. I'm afraid they'll not receive it well. I hate when people don't like me. You know, just 100. Man, we got to put those things aside and say, you know what? A soul is more valuable than anything to God, and it ought to be more valuable to me. There's people that you interact with as lost as that seat right there, and they need Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, if we don't see an urgency to take the message to them, we probably won't, and there's a very good chance that that person who's never trusted Jesus will die and go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever because we didn't see the urgency or the priority of the message of Jesus Christ. Number four, we looked at the content of the message, the testimony and the word. And then lastly, the power of the message, testimony and also the word that Jesus spoke, which we have written down in the Word of God today. You know, we have plenty of people that need to be reached with the gospel. Y'all agree with that? I don't know. You know, if you just do the math, how many people are in Clarksburg? I think it's about 13,000, is it, or so? I'm not positive about that. It seemed like that's what last time I looked, about 13,000. How many of those are truly born again? We don't know, but if you say half are born again, that's 6,500. Still need the gospel. And how many's here? You know what? What about 20? This is round to 20 tonight. 20 into 6,500. We got lots of people we can reach, right? We must see the urgency and the priority of sharing the gospel. We must see the urgency and the priority of sharing the gospel. This woman left her water pot. I don't think that was put in there by accident. I think it was put in there to remind us. What's number one? What's a priority? To lead people to Jesus. And you say, well, I can't do it. Well, you're right. You can't do it. I can't do it, but God can do it. Amen. You know, for someone that you say, I don't know a whole lot, and I'm not a very good speaker, and how can I do it? And I get real nervous. If you just turn it over to the Lord, I think the Lord will take care of it. God will bless you and your efforts for sharing the gospel. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get at doing it. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. We talked about leaving your water pot. Leaving your water pot. Specifically tonight for the Christian. What is it in your life that may be hindering you from sharing the good news of Jesus with the people around you? Just like that woman set down her water pot, left her water pot. Are you willing to leave that behind? Something, maybe a busyness or some area, some excuse you might. Are you going to leave that behind and go share the gospel with the people that need to hear it? In essence, will you leave your water pot to share the gospel? Do you see that as a priority? Do you see the urgency? If that's you and God has maybe brought to your mind something that holds you back from sharing the gospel, Would you just say, Lord, just take that away from me. Just take that away. Take that fear or that excuse I have for lack of time. Lord, just help me to see that priority and urgency of sharing the gospel. Would you ask the Lord that? And let me ask you, would you ask God to bring to your mind right now somebody that you know who definitely needs Jesus as their Savior. Did God just pop a picture of someone or their name to your mind right now that you know who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior? If you're willing, would you say, Lord, help me to share the message of Jesus with that person? You may say, preacher, I've shared and shared and shared. Maybe ask for one more opportunity, at least, to share the good news about Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. We just scratched the surface tonight, but we're thankful that this woman at the well truly did accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. And Lord, she left her water pot out of urgency and priority to tell more people about Jesus. Lord, may we leave behind whatever's hindering us as well, whatever's preoccupying all of our time, our effort, our resources. And Lord, see the priority of sharing the gospel of Jesus. Lord, we love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amy? As a memory prompt for this, you know, what I want you to do the next week or so, all right, when you leave a phone message or whenever you send a text message or a Facebook message or an Instagram message or a Messenger message or whatever kind of message you send, if you send smoke signals, whatever, I want you to think in your brain. I want you to have this question in your mind. Have I shared the most important message of Jesus with someone today? Would you do that? For a week, whenever you send a message, just ask yourself, have I shared the good news of Jesus with someone today? Would you ask yourself that question? You know, we should be actively sharing with the people around us. Y'all agree with that? Leaving our water pot. Amen. Amen to that.